This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
ZFM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. We're playing the game after every single Warriors game now. This is the segment. Do you believe this team can win a title? You know, it's the oldest question in sports talk. Is this team going to win the championship? Is it the Niners? Is it the Giants? Is it
every the day it's
every
a title
game,
talk.
Right? But we're going to lean into it. We want to hear and check the pulse of Dub Nation. Vinny is in Tallahassee.
What's up, Vinny?
What's up, Vin?
What's up, guys? I absolutely believe the Warriors are going to win the title. I want to see them play LeBron. I want to see the Celtics. Kuminga's going to come back, and Butler's going to unlock him, and I think it's going to be a big aspect of the team.
I totally agree. Can you imagine you beat the Lakers and the Celtics en route to your fifth title to tie Kobe?
Are you kidding me? To tie Kobe? To tie Magic? To tie like?
And then you're one away from Jordan?
Are you serious?
And you'd have more finals appearances.
And you're bearing the lead, Joe Shasky. He'd have one more than LeBron, the guy that you would have to beat to get there.
Jordan's number one. We all know this. Like, Jordan's one.
Oh, dude, now we're talking. So hold on, real quick. We were talking about, you know, is he the most skilled player in NBA history? We weren't sure about that. But one more title now.
Well,
we're
longevity
talking,
matters.
We're talking Jordan over here.
Well, Jordan, look,
it's just said we had 2 days.
The defense
is
cemented. The defense is cemented. I don't want to 10 first time. All, you know, all defense.
I mean, DPOY.
Yeah,
DPOY.
I'm aware. You know, but hey, at some point, like with Tom Brady, you know, you just had to kind of wave the white flag. Longevity matters.
Okay.
You know, longevity. Calvin Johnson was more physically gifted than Jerry Rice.
I just want you to put
Jerry
your
Rice
name,
played like twice as long.
I just want you to put your name on it. You think there's a scenario in which Stephen Curry surpasses Michael Jordan?
I'm saying.
Say it.
I'm saying.
Say it.
Anything is possible, Kevin Garnett.
You miss me with that. Mike Berkeley. What's up, Mikey? What you got? Is this team winning a title?
Not this year. I don't think so, guys. That's biting off a lot and chewing it. That's a lot to ask. I think the Warriors are amazing this year. I don't think it's their year to finish it. They're amazing. But they do have one Achilles heel.
Huh.
And it's evident and it's glaring. And when you're up by 10 points with a minute to go, and your coach changes up the closing lineup, and you squeak one out against the Brooklyn Nets. I'm sorry, guys, but Steve Kerr and his rotations and his minute distribution, and with Kuminga coming back, I'm almost positive he's going to blow it.
Oh.
Almost positive.
It's Mike and Berkeley.
Is there a four-time champion in the history of sports who is more doubted than Steve Kerr? I'm asking sincerely. And look, I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm not. That's not what I'm saying. I can't think of any four-time champion in any sport who is more doubted than Steve Kerr. It is remarkable.
He does have, I'm not going to say he has like a great point, but his point is well made saying, you know, Steve Kerr is going to be the guy that has to put this Rubik's Cube puzzle together when JK comes back. That
sure
is going to be a very tricky needle to thread when and if J.K. returns to the floor. How are you going to play him? The minute allocation, all of that. But it's a good problem to have. Let's just say that first and foremost. And you know what? Dare I say, right now on March 7th, 2025, I don't really give a damn who the matchup is. I really don't, which sounds insane. I keep listening to all the other shows. Denver, I mean, I'm so scared of Denver. I'm not really that scared of Denver. I'm really not. Everyone else is scared of Nikola Jokic and the size aspect. But in this series, you know what? If Steph's playing like he's playing, it's the great equalizer all time, Joe Shasky. You have the size. You have the big guy. I got Stephen Curry. I got Jimmy Butler. I got Draymond Green. I get it. It's going to come down to the others. And Mike and Berkeley, he's talking about Jonathan Kuminga being part of that. If JK can just be 70% of what he was prior to the injury, I like my chances. Well, if I keep seeing Quentin Post get better and better
and better,
more confident, doesn't that size of a Quentin Post change things for you when we talk about this
100%.
Size? Not saying he's going to stop Jokic. No one's saying that.
But you don't stop Jokic. No one stops Jokic.
Exactly. But you make it harder for him. And I think Quentin Post can do that. I think Guy Santos can do that at the Nines.
The Nuggets.
Right?
Like you trust Mike Malone?
Come on.
You trust Mike Malone over Steve Kerr?
And we're talking about that. J.J. Redick's a rookie head coach.
I mean, let's
talk about that. Dagnall,
who's the guy in Memphis that was crying for multiple...
Taylor Jenkins.
Come on, looking like my cousin, Jack and Mike Schindler. I mean,
are you taking Steve Kerr or Ime Udoka? Like, come on.
Thank you.
And Udoka, and he's beaten Ime Udoka in the finals.
I mean, come on, people. Come on, people. Did San Antonio fans do this to Popovich at any point?
Like, they probably questioned him. Like during the Miami Heat when the Miami Heat beat him the first time, right? When Kawhi missed those free throws.
I gave Phil Jackson the benefit of the doubt for like a decade after he was done coaching. Somehow Phil will come down from the stands and he'll win this game.
There you go.
The reason Steve Kerr gets all the reason Steve Kerr gets all this doubt is because half the titles that he's won as a head coach, he basically did it with coaching Team USA when you had the Fab or the Hamptons Five or whatever, and he had a roster that a lot of people believe that they could coach.
Because the '96 Bulls weren't that great. Right.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's a ridiculous take. First off, this is where the doubt comes from.
That could, right. You know, '96, '97, and '98.
Everyone thinks, oh, I could have coached that Warriors team. So Kerr's not that great. It's so ridiculous.
He was dealing with the back injury, so you saw Luke Walton win all those games. You saw Mike Brown win all those games. So people like to take their shots, and you know what? I'm not doing that right now. I want to hear people, and credit to Mike, who's actually calling him when the team's winning, and he's still doubting Steve Kerr, because the doubt always comes if they get a little losing skin. Oh, that loss to the Sixers. This is why Steve Kerr's not, he can't be the guy going forward. Why? Because Quentin Grimes went off? Okay, come on. Like, Quentin Grimes went off. Like, sorry. No one had that in their bingo book. Dylan's in Marin. He wants to join the conversation.
And I'm not saying he's perfect. That's not what I'm saying. It's just, it's crazy to me. Belichick had his greatest team of all time, and he lost in the Super Bowl. And we all acknowledge, Belichick's.
If we think Stephen Curry's disrespected, I mean, it's 10 times Steve Kerr. It's not even close. And it comes with the territory because the coach always gets blamed at the end of the day. We're not going to blame Steph. We're not going to blame Jimmy.
He has more titles in the Bay Area. Now, Bochy tied him because he went to Texas, but more titles than Bill Walsh. And Bruce Bochy in the Bay Area. I'm talking about in the Bay Area.
And that matters.
I know.
Dylan is in Marin. What's up, Dylan?
I am fired up. I am a believer.
Let's go.
And Kuminga is the key. I want to hear what you guys have to say about why Kuminga is not playing yet, and can he fit into this rotation and take us to a title?
Well, Dylan, he's not playing yet because he's not healthy enough to play.
Yes.
That is just the answer that we're getting from Steve Kerr. They're being extremely cautious, extremely careful, because let's be honest, if they do rush him back and he doesn't feel 100%, like a setback there, like I don't know if we could talk about a deep run without Jonathan Kuminga, a semblance of a Jonathan Kuminga. Not saying he's going to be what he was prior to the injury, but that's you got to be very careful with stuff like this. And I'm going to be very careful if I'm Jonathan Kuminga, because I'm going to get paid this offseason. I got to be careful with my body. And if I don't feel 100% or close to 100% with the ankle, I'm going to take my time. And again, I hate when people keep saying, oh, well, this must be the worst ankle sprain in the history of ankle sprains. Well, clearly, yeah, It is bad. Like, it's worse than we all thought, and the recovery process is different depending on the body. So maybe Joe Shasky, you know, in his prime, maybe he recovers faster, but Jonathan Kuminga's not. It's different. A different injury affects people differently every single one. Like, Adrian Peterson coming back from an ACL injury, I always use this. It's not the same as Clinton Portis coming back from an ACL injury.
No.
Like, it's different. Things are different.
Well, I mean, as someone who's a high-level athlete,
yeah,
hurt his foot last week just wearing shoes, let me tell you, 5 days later, I'm still sore.
Exactly.
That was a joke.
Why are you going to rush someone back when you're winning?
Well, what's the point of exactly?
I
all
agree.
This. People keep saying, "Oh, I was like, why? Like, just let him ease himself back into it." And again, we talked about this. The more you keep winning, it could provide you a cushion in those last couple games of the season when maybe you do get Jonathan Kuminga back and you could feature him more in live NBA reps heading into the playoffs. Did we want to give you guys' thoughts real quick? Joe Shasky, this team winning a title? Do you believe?
I believe they can win a title. I do. Like, obviously, things are going to have to break their way, right?
Okay.
Like, there's no doubt about it. Things are going to have to break their way. Like, I go back to the year Phoenix was the best team in the league when they won and they beat Boston. Like, they were. I don't know what it looked like against Phoenix in a playoff series.
Right.
I remember, like, DeAndre Ayton was actually playing really well at that time. Chris Paul was playing really well. That team was dangerous.
Yeah.
Now, they ended up losing, and Dallas, you know, was the matchup in the Western Conference Finals. And, you know, the path looking at it now doesn't look as daunting for the Warriors. I'm talking about 2022. It didn't look as daunting. Ja got hurt. You know, who knows if Ja stays healthy? I'm not saying that they lose the Warriors, but like Dylan Brooks was their lead dog, you know, chucking threes in that game six.
Hilarious.
So look, things will have to break their way. I do think they can win it all. I legitimately do. You've got two half court game changers in Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry. And the combinations that you put out there, like a lot of guys are going to thrive.
Draymond Green said something that should scare the rest of the league too and should make Warriors fans very happy after the game yesterday. He doesn't think they've even hit their stride yet, Joe Shasky.
Kind of agree.
No, I mean, we're trying to win a championship, and we know how much that takes, how much better we have to get to do that. So I think we're playing good basketball, but we're still figuring a lot of stuff out, can get a lot better, will get a lot better. So I don't think we've hit any stride.
Should be scary hours for the rest of the NBA if this team can get a lot better. Again, this is why I said, because we're already seeing this Warriors team and that Lakers team that we keep seeing on our televisions, and I know it's bothering Charles Barkley that the Warriors and Lakers are taking over everything, but you know what? They made the biggest moves at the deadline, and their acquisitions are balling out now. And these two teams are the hottest teams in the NBA outside of the two number one seeds, the Cleveland Cavaliers and Oklahoma City Thunder. But you know what? I'm sorry. I just got to say it. We're in San Francisco right now. We're a major market. Cleveland doesn't really resonate, and Oklahoma City doesn't really resonate with the casuals. I'm sorry. Is that like a crazy thing to say? I'm a low level, you know, IQ person that like talks about the game. I can't talk about, you know, the grit and the grind of a Shea Gilgeous and a Donovan Mitchell. No, because Los Angeles has LeBron James and San Francisco has Stephen Curry. And that's what I'm going to be talking about.
Well, and like in the East, you want Boston.
Yes.
Right? Because of the pomp and circumstances. Nobody wants to see the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, and I'm not trying to hate. Like, last year, think about it. Yankees, Dodgers.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
I don't even like either brand.
But you were watching every single game.
It was incredible. And viewership was through the roof. Let's go a year prior. Rangers, Diamondbacks. Yeah. Ask Fox Sports which one they preferred.
Exactly.
Let's go back 10 years ago when Levi's had the Super Bowl. Carolina Panthers, Broncos. Come on, man.
Let's pick this conversation up on the other side.
Come on. We want big brands. We want teams and players that we care about.
You're going to
want
to hear what Charles Barkley has to say. We'll get to that. Plus, shameless shout-out, 745. Shout-out whoever and whatever you want. That's going to be brought to you by Inn at the Tides. Picture yourself in a cozy room by the fire, enjoying breathtaking views of Bodega Bay. This time of year is magical at Inn at the Tides. Special midweek rates start at just $159 per night. Book your escape now. Inn at the Tides.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here at Barclays, fans have been treated to a Steph show. He's got 33 now, and the Warriors lead by 10, 108-98.
You're listening to the Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni, Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you. Again, that always reminds me of role models.
I was thinking it reminded me of me, Carter, and the rest of the Bay Area with Jimmy Butler. I was made for loving you.
Well, you don't want to listen to the rest of these lyrics because it's a different kind of love. But
yeah,
I know what you're saying.
I know.
It's Kiss, baby. Let's go. Gene Simmons and all the other band members.
Jimmy. God, it was such a
You know what's sad? Every time you keep saying that, I still think of Jimmy Garoppolo. Is that bad? Like, I know. I should be thinking about
There's
Jimmy Butler
Jimmy.
Still. Well, are we keeping Jimmy G to the curb?
Jimmy G's gone.
He got to the chip, though. Jimmy Butler's got it. He's got
James Garoppolo no longer exists.
Wow, that's disrespectful. I'm not disrespecting Jimmy the Paisan like that. You can't do that. Jimmy Butler has to at least get to a finals to match what Jimmy Garoppolo accomplished here in the Bay Area.
So you know everybody looks
How about
at
that.
Everybody looks at Batman and they marvel at all the tools and all
it's DC actually, but continue
all the incredible things.
It was a joke. Thank you. Continue.
It wasn't bad, actually.
Thanks.
But they always like, oh, my God, look at that. He's got the Batmobile. And he's got the Bat Chopper and this and that. He's got all these like crazy things. Obviously, the great armor, the suit, all that. Behind every great Batman is an even better Alfred, a butler.
Okay.
And so where I'm going with this is
Alfred Pennyworth.
Absolutely. Steph Curry might be Batman in this particular scenario, but he's got a great Alfred. And Jimmy Butler.
So you're not going Robin, you're going Alfred here.
No, he doesn't need a Robin. For many, many, many different Batman movies, there was no Robin needed.
See, I think in this scenario, Steve Kerr would be Alfred because he's like there to like put people in positions to succeed. He makes the calls. He makes sure he's going to be okay. Like
Alfred's always two steps ahead.
Yeah, but he's not in the action. Like, Jimmy Butler's in the action. He's on the court. He's in Gotham City. He's there. All right?
I always thought Robin was kind of soft.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but he turns he turns into Nightwing, though, Joe Shasky, when he gets older.
What was that?
That was the chicken impression, I believe, from someone.
Oh, my God.
It's an all-timer. 888-957-9570. We had Kevin Dana join us earlier
in the show.
Kevin Dana with an all-time call. There's so many all-time calls. I'm going to play them back-to-back-to-back because Stephen Curry did something before the half yesterday that just, I don't know how he still does it. A week from his 37th birthday, he's still wowing us, and it doesn't get old. Sam sent the text message when this happened. He's like, I said hilarious. Carter said, oh, my God. And Sam was like, it doesn't get old. And we're all referring to Steph. We don't even have to say his name, Joe Shasky. You're just referring to this.
8 seconds left, so the Warriors will go into the break down just single digits after being down 22. But can it be a two-possession game? A heave from 35. Oh, my, from Stephen Curry. Oh, he's going to run to the locker room. There's still 0.3 seconds, Steph. It won't matter. 60-55. I thought he could have gotten about 5 feet closer to the basket.
That was the goal when you were down 22. Steph from midcourt. Oh! Did he ghost him on that too? Oh my goodness, Curry!
Butler bounces Curry. Oh!
Ridiculous! A cheat code! Steph Curry is not human!
Kevin Dana right here on 95.7 The Game. Bob Fitzgerald, NBC Sports Bay Area, Ian Eagle, the Yes Network. Every single announcer, I'm sure the Brooklyn Nets radio side, whoever it is, they were all in awe. The entire arena was in awe about what this guy can do. And you said it, Joe Shasky, talking about the belief level in this team. Everyone believes because they believe in Steph Curry. I believe in Steph Curry. I believe in Stephen Vogt. I believe that we will win. No, I believe in Stephen Curry. I saw it carry over from France, from Paris, when he put Team USA on his back with some night-night shots in Paris, France, to capture the gold for the USA, his first ever and probably his only gold medal. I saw him carry over for the first month of this season. And then D'Anthony Melton got hurt, and the Buddy Hield stopped making threes, and things got hard, things got difficult, things got difficult on his body. His body started to break down a little bit. There was wear and tear emotionally, mentally. You saw it on the court. How many thousand-yard stares did we see from Stephen Curry when the game was over and him with the towel on his head just staring into space, just saying, like, what are we going to do? How can we figure this thing out? And it got to the point where trade deadline week, we thought this thing was over. We thought it was all done. And just a month later, everything has changed. There's new life in Stephen Curry. There's new life in the fan base. There's new life within the organization. And there's new belief. And to go Star Wars, a new hope. And you know what? Hope is a dangerous thing because it could drive a man crazy. And I think that's Shawshank Redemption. I'm making a lot of different references here. But it's scary because you finally believe again and you don't want to get hurt. So I think there's a couple callers here.
Okay, that's
fine. A couple callers that called in that aren't ready to believe because they don't want to be heartbroken.
Well,
but that's part of being a sports fan, Joe Shasky.
Yeah, okay.
You got to start believing again because when things start going well, you're going to want to be, you don't want to be that guy saying, "See, I told you so. It's all going to end up." No. You can start having fun again. It's okay to dip your toes back into the water. That is the Golden State Warriors.
So you're going all movie references right now. You're all over the place with the movie references, which I love. So, you know, in Man of Steel, when Zod presents himself to basically the entire world, Superman's very conflicted whether he should showcase who he is or not. And he goes into a church and he sits down and he starts talking to a young pastor. And the pastor said something to the effect of, sometimes you have to take a leap of faith.
Yep.
And even though you don't believe in it, or maybe you don't fully see what that vision is, you got to jump off the ledge to get yourself going. And that's kind of where I'm at with this team. If you can't believe in a four-time champion in Steph Curry, the greatest player maybe the Bay Area has ever seen. And that is a sentence. I don't say that flippantly. I don't say that lightly. The greatest player that I think we've ever seen in any sport. That's how good this guy is. We've seen Willie Mays. We've seen Wilt Chamberlain. We've seen Chris Mullin, Barry Bonds.
Montana, Rice.
Joe Montana, Rice, Ronnie Lott. Yeah. I mean, we've seen Ricky Henderson. Some of the greatest of the greats. And I think he's the best of them all. And this is a guy who now feels reinvigorated,
so focused. All of the ancillary pieces are playing some of their best ball of the year. Moody, Post, GP2 quietly playing really good. No one wants to talk about
it. I mean, that guy just lives in the paint and gets layups left and right.
And that's the template for Kuminga when he comes back, right? Well, is kind of what GP2 is doing.
And he just catches the other team sleeping. Now,
how about Draymond? Draymond's playing the best ball he's played in, what, 3 years?
Right.
And no, I'm serious.
And you look at the stat line yesterday, 7 points, but he had 10 assists. He was distributing yesterday at a very high level. He was active on the boards. And defensively, he looks rejuvenated. Again,
he looks incredible.
As much as we're talking about stepping rejuvenated, Draymond Green, absolutely. I mean, we say absolutely incredible. He looks absolutely incredible. And you just bring him up. Here he is talking about his boy, yeah, Steph Curry, and saying how lucky the NBA is to have him still.
You know what's crazy is that when we were just out there on the court, I was thinking to myself, like, the NBA is lucky because this man is going into every arena, putting on the show. Sounds like it's a home game every time he does it. I mean, like, we're all lucky to watch him operate the way he operate, playing the game the way he played the game. It's been special to watch, but this road trip was something different for him, for sure.
You were probably too young for Fernando Mania.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, and I've only, you know, experienced the very end of his career, you know, from way afar away, but in his height of heights, and this sounds insane because it's 40 years removed, Fernando Mania was a thing, right? Mm-hmm. This guy, everywhere he went, you know, what he represented for Mexican Americans and what he meant to the game of baseball and just the way that he played, it was a huge deal.
Rest in peace.
You know, he pales in comparison to the impact of someone like Steph Curry. So he has the novelty of someone like a Linsanity, like a Fernando Valenzuela, right, like a Tim Lincecum, in terms of, God, he doesn't really look like the biggest dude on the field.
Yeah.
Boy, he's not that super imposing. You know, Michael Vick kind of had this novelty where it's like, wow, he's the fastest dude on the entire field, and he's not the biggest dude. Like, yeah, there was a novelty factor to that. Steph is so much better than all of those guys. He's got the dominance of all the all-time physical greats, but he's also got this charm and this joy and this unpredictability about the way that he plays. There's the Barry Bonds novelty act. When Barry Bonds was on the road, it was a circus in every single stadium.
Yeah.
And they were booing him. But by the end of a series, people would give him a standing ovation. Now, they hated his guts, don't get me wrong. But in terms of a showman and an entertainer, they realized what they were watching was different and special.
The only guy that comes to mind right now that could even come close to what, you know, I mean, LeBron's been doing it for so long. I think people, it sounds crazy, they take it for granted because he's just been doing it for so long.
I agree.
And they have Luka now, so it's kind of a tandem show. So it's not just solely him, and it's the Laker brand. It's just different.
Well, and the ESPN brand shoving him down everyone's throat every day.
People get tired of that a little bit.
20 years straight.
Even though we should be appreciating the greatness of him and Steph, just appreciate greatness in both. But the only guy that comes close to when I think of the cameras and the parade that is just media and fandom, everything, Shohei Ohtani.
He's done it for 3 years.
But no,
Steph's done it over a decade.
I'm saying right now.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
That's the only other athlete right now where I could point to and say, yeah, that guy's bigger than the sport. Shohei is bigger than Major League Baseball right now. Like, he has the entire country of Japan,
sure,
and he has America.
Sure.
And it's becoming more and more global, the sport of baseball, and it's not the same globally like basketball is, and that's why Steph globally is still that dude. And we saw it again. In the Olympics, that matters. Doing it on that stage and winning that medal, that mattered to him, and it set the tone for the entire season. Now, we didn't think the season was going to go to where it went now. We thought, hey, maybe they could be a play-in. Can they get to the sixth seed? Can they be a playoff series team? That was the high watermark heading into the season, Zojaski.
I know.
And now it's, can we win one? Can we win two? Can we win three? You know what? I think we might be able to win four series. That's crazy. When we were a month ago saying this team could barely make a play-in spot, and it's because of Jimmy Butler, the acquisition that gave hope and belief to the organization, but it's the revitalized Stephen Curry. I didn't know we were going to get a revitalized Steph Curry when they made this Jimmy Butler acquisition. Did you think Steph was going to be doing this?
No, no one did. Like, even if you thought like the high watermark was like, oh, well, they'll look good. It was like, yeah, they'll run for the 8 seed.
Yeah.
Right? Like they'll kind of figure it out. It'll be a work in progress. There'll be some clunkers. There's been very few clunky moments. A couple clunky quarters, but for the most part, they've climbed out of it.
Clunky last minute last night, but that was...
Yeah. But I think the thing that look, we're talking about on the court. What I'm marveling at is the sideshow in the arena.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about from the fans and the way
like the fans determine who the face of a sport is.
Yeah.
You know, like Peyton Manning, like obviously the Manning name had its recognition.
The media plays a part in it, but it's the fans ultimately that choose to gravitate towards the player. There's a reason why no one gravitates towards Jason Tatum. Like that.
No.
Let's just be honest. They don't gravitate towards Jaylen Brown. They don't gravitate towards those guys. Very good players. Future Hall of Famers, probably.
The brand helps. And the, like, I think about Kobe. Like, the Laker brand helped. You know what else helped? Being on Sprite commercials. Yep. Being the face of Adidas for a long, long time. You know what I mean? Winning championships. And then eventually people come around.
And kind of being, being an a-hole sometimes.
Well, that too.
But people gravitate towards that stuff.
True.
You either love it or you hate that mindset.
The lack of humility, you know what I mean, for a long, long time. I think LeBron shares a similar lack of humility at times. At least that's how people interpret it, whether it's real or not.
Well, he was going to, by the way, he went to Stephen A. last night. If you haven't seen the video.
There's a kid like Joy that I think the only guy that comes close is like a David Ortiz, where everyone's like, when I bring up the name David Ortiz.
Everyone smiles.
You smile. You feel good. You're like, dude, this guy's great for the game.
Right.
Like, when I think of Steph Curry going into all of these arenas, he went into Madison Square Garden and he went into Barclays in back-to-back, basically, games. And it felt like the crowd was rooting for him from the jump. And by the end, everyone was just appreciative to be in the building.
I mean,
Bonds is about the closest I can come up, but people hated him.
Exactly. It was a different kind of polarization because you're rooting against him.
People were throwing blow-up syringes at him.
Right.
Well, Chasky, I have to ask you, since you were at Game 4 in Boston, was that the same kind of...
Game 3 and Game 4. I sat up by myself up in Boston Garden, okay?
The guy.
And it was a bunch of Sean Sullivan from, you know, Sullyville or whatever. These guys, I mean, they were unbelievable.
For that Boston.
All they kept saying, no, this is the truth, they hated Draymond's guts.
Yeah, they did.
Did not think Draymond was good. Like, they physically, they made them sick to watch Draymond play ball. They thought he was a goon and a bully. Every single person, and this is before that championship, Steph Curry's awesome. We love Steph Curry. He's the closest to Larry Bird that we've seen in terms of when we watch him, he plays the game the right way. That's the way they would say it. He plays the game the right way. There was an appreciation for how he went about it, and he was unbelievable. And remember, he hit some shots in the fourth quarter and kind of quieted the crowd right before the end of the third quarter. Yep. He was quieting the crowd, and they had nothing but respect from him.
Yep.
Nothing but respect from him. And they knew the night that he beat them in that game for us, one of the greatest games I've ever been to in any sport. I will never forget it. He single-handedly jabbed them in the heart with a knife, and they couldn't look away.
Right. Well, that was the,
they were in
that was
awe.
The series. That was the series
they
that game four because they were up double digits throughout most of the game. They win that. They're up 3-1. The game, the series is probably over.
They said, they go, look, Magic was awesome, but Magic needed the Kareems and the Worthies to be able to fully demonstrate his excellence.
And his difference was his rookie year. He was amazing. He was the Finals MVP.
No doubt.
It was crazy. It was different though because
he's Magic, a pass-first guy.
But Magic in college was also much bigger than Steph was big in college, but it was Magic and Bird, right?
No
Indiana
doubt.
State,
he's the greatest
and
freshman
Michigan
of all
State,
time.
Right? There you go.
Know, like one of the greatest freshmen of all
different.
Time.
It was different, yeah.
No doubt. But the way that Steph absolutely annihilated them in that game with the 43 points.
In Boston,
felt like he was unstoppable, and they were throwing the kitchen sink at him.
And Joe Lacob, growing up a Boston Celtics fan, a Massachusetts guy.
And you got to remember, Marcus Smart at the time was their defensive stopper. Yeah. He was their Draymond guy.
Yeah.
They thought there's no way with Marcus Smart's going to stop him. That's what they kept saying. So, they kept comping him. No, I'm serious. Like, and Larry Bird, like, you have to understand, in Boston, it's Ted Williams and Larry Bird.
He's
and now
guy.
Tom Brady, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, those guys are above and beyond, and then obviously Jesus.
Bill Russell.
Because it's a very Irish Catholic area.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt on Bill Russell, but Bill, you have to understand, though, like, the legend of Larry might be bigger than Bill for a variety of reasons.
Well, yes, and we won't dive into the race relations of all that.
I don't even want to go there.
We don't have to, but there is, I'm watching the Celtics doc, I forget what it's called, Winning Ways or something, on HBO Max. They're just chronicling the history of the Boston Celtics. And yeah, the Bob Cousy, Bill Russell, factor was
Havlicek.
Real. Like Havlicek, and Bill Russell felt some type of way about that. And I feel like he even loved him more as a San Francisco Don, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes more than they remember in Boston.
Him and Casey Jones and Willie Woo Woo Wang.
MVP,
the USF Dons.
MVP chance for Steph.
I've never seen anything like it.
Listen to it.
Steph, of course, he's ticked up his scoring. The MVP chants are pretty loud here at Barclays.
The fans have been treated to a Steph show. He's got 33 now, and the Warriors lead by 10, 108-98.
Kevin Dana, who joined us last hour, and by the way, we're going to replay that interview for you at 8:30, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Kevin Dana on the call last night, filling in for Tim Roy, and also voice of the C-Dubs out in the G League. We got shameless shoutouts coming up in 10 minutes, 888-957-9570. You better be shouting out someone of the Golden State Warriors. That's all I'm going to say, Joe. As well as your kid, your mom, your horse, your dog. I don't know what you got.
If we were just going to go, who's America's player right now? Like we did this America's team right now. Mahomes is actually very polarizing.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people don't like him. And not that he's not great. They do. Tom Brady, even though he just retired a little while ago, people still associate him with excellence. And I think a lot of people hate him.
Yeah.
I think they hate his guts.
He's the pretty boy.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, when I think American sports, I do think Tom Brady's face right there. Right?
LeBron.
LeBron's a good one.
But he's very polarizing.
Yeah.
But he's very beloved. I don't want to make this sound like he's not beloved. He's extremely beloved. But he's also very polarizing. I know Laker fans, certain Laker fans don't even like him because he's, you know, blocking the sun of Kobe.
Of Kobe, right. It's interesting. And the whole Bronny aspect to it and how people felt about that, giving the handout. But
I'm sure there's a pocket of people that hate Steph Curry. But to me, if I were to say America's athlete, who's the most beloved guy no matter where he goes? It's Steph and who? It's Steph and who?
I can't think of anyone in baseball right now because Shohei had the scandal, right? His name's going to be a part of that. And also, no,
I'm convinced
Shohei not
a part of it, but that's fine.
Shohei, okay, I know you do. But
I'm just convinced he knew. I mean, it's
FBI.
Complete crap.
All right.
They take years to investigate someone. Within 24 hours, this is clean. We're done here.
Because clearly
it's
that
like
was
a South Park episode.
Well, clearly that's the priority in this country is illegal sports gambling, right? Not a bunch of other stuff. But I'll say this with Stephen Curry, to your point, seeing him be that 6'3" guy who was so wiry, the baby face, all of it, and what he did in the Olympics, being in the global eye, you know, Wemby was supposed to be the next big thing. It was France. You know, you had the trash talking from Evan Fournier. You had Nicholas Batum in there. You know, Court of Gold you're referencing. I've been watching some of it. Bogdan Bogdanovic. You had Nikola Jokic. Like, it felt like it was the global stage. We had Giannis, right? I don't even think Greece really qualified that deep into it. But it felt like the Euros and the African players. It was everyone coming for America.
Absolutely.
And this was America checking back, and Stephen Curry was the face of that run. I know LeBron won the MVP, but Steph hit the biggest shots in that series.
They were
and he was the guy.
To him.
Literally. Steph was guarded, and LeBron was wide open. And it was like, here, KD's like, no, here, Steph. And Steph was like, all right. And he shoots it, and then he hits the night. And the rest was history. Let's clean up some of these calls before we get to Chamberlain shout-outs. Because
Steph, man.
Jimmy Butler, Steph. There's so many different avenues to go right now to the reason why you believe in this team. You can go with some of the young guys. Like, you can look at Quentin Post, like, man, if we get this Quentin Post, are you serious? Jonathan, SF.
Jonathan!
What's up, Jonathan? It was good meeting you at the knockout tournament. What's up, bud?
Hey, good morning, guys. Nice to see you there, too. Let me get to this. It's going to take a while. Let me set it up. You know, in the Batman, right, Batman has no superpowers. But he's got a lot of money, and he's got that guy who, you know, would send him all the equipment and stuff. Alfred Pennyworth. What's Alfred Pennyworth, guys? He's a butler. What's Jimmy? Jimmy's a butler. So why is everybody, mostly all the fans are, you know, they're surprised that Jimmy, once he got here, everybody's more efficient. Well, he's a butler, guys. You know, by the definition of the name, makes everybody's lives better and easier. Look at the uptick in everybody's performance. Now, everybody's more efficient. And here's another thing, too, that I see, man. He's a guy that destiny has brought to us. You know, patience is virtue. He wasn't the first pick, right? He wasn't the first choice. But the way everything unfolded and came to fruition, he kind of fell in our laps. And at the right price, we didn't have to give up too much. So we still have Looney and GP2 and the other guys. I know we got to give up Wiggins and the draft pick, but that's the minimum. So... there's another thing I see here that's why I feel like this thing is going to become magic, guys. Jimmy Butler the third.
I love it.
Wardell Steph Curry the second. What's 2 + 3? 5! Yeah!
Jonathan and Seth.
He landed that like Carrie Shrug.
There you go. Who's my guy? Like Sully? And the plane, yeah, there you go. We need
I
more
meant
of that.
More like hobbled, like, sure. You know, like.
He did your butler analogy. It's okay. You know, inspiration, inspired take from the Alfred Pennyworth, if you will. I get the last name and the butler being, but I just, you know, there's the nerd in me. And, you know, I like to nerd out. Uh-huh. We were nerding out yesterday. I was like, but the butler, he wasn't part of the action. Jimmy Butler's a part of the action.
Alfred was always behind everything. Don't forget to open up your belt.
But that's not Jimmy. Jimmy's there doing, he is the subtlety there. He is, you know, the Robin cleaning up everything. And then Batman gets all the shine. And you know what? I think we're underestimating all this, too, with Jimmy Butler, who was the number one guy. Like, there is something to being the number one guy for your franchise and then taking a back seat. That's not an easy thing to do coming to a new team. And I get it. He's trying to, you know, rehabilitate his image, per se. The last couple months have not been favorable or kind to him. Him and his public beef with Pat Riley, the president of basketball operations over in Miami. But I commend Jimmy Butler, because that is not an easy thing to do. All these guys have egos. You have an ego. I have an ego. Being second fiddle to one of the greatest players of all time, and you knew right away in that press conference who you were getting with Jimmy Butler. You said, give the ball to Steph and get out of the way.
Well, but
that's what I want to hear. But you know what, Joe Shasky? It's easier said than done doing that. But his game, and I think even I underestimated to a point, is so predicated on playmaking and helping others and being so unselfish. But he can be selfish a little bit when he needs to be, like yesterday in the third quarter.
There are guys who get a lot of assists who are ball pounders. Russell Westbrook, ball pounder. Yeah. James Harden, ball pounder. You know, like that's what they are by design. All right. And so they'll get a lot of assists, but they stop the flow of an offense.
Right.
And really, you've negated the other players playing around you to be lob threats or just catch and shoot, end of the shot clock. You know, you better hit this. And it's not a fun brand of basketball for the other guys on the team.
Right.
Jimmy Butler's not a ball stopper. He will be an ISO scorer when he needs to be. He can get his shots when he needs to be. But if anything, he's more of a read and react guy than I gave him credit for. He's a way more willing passer. And I think by design in Miami, because they didn't really have those true ball pounding point guards or those playmaking point guards, I think he, by usage,
yeah,
was
really.
Forced. No, Hero's more of a shooting guard.
He chucks it up.
He will dribble a lot, but he's a shooter. And so I just think that we viewed him through what he did in Miami, and I think he adjusted to the personnel that they have around him, and he's clearly adjusted back to what, you know, the Warriors have, and it's been a perfect blend. And he's their best low post player in years, even though he's not traditionally huge.
Since Jimmy Butler came to the team, Stephen Curry has increased his point per game by 8. He was averaging 22 points prior to Jimmy Butler being a Golden State Warrior, averaging north of 30 now. Since Jimmy Butler's been here.
What needs to be examined, Joe, is not necessarily his impact with the Warriors. What I want is the 30 for 30 on how he sabotaged his value with the Miami Heat to beat all the other superstars to get to Golden State. Because for years, I've like hypothesized, like, if Giannis, do you really want to like get out of my Milwaukee? Well, you might have to make it kind of ugly, right? Like, that's how these guys do it. Like, you want to move.
And that's what we might be seeing with Myles Garrett in Cleveland here.
Sure.
Who wanted to meet with Jimmy Haslam, the owner. And Jimmy Haslam's like, no, we're not doing that because we're not trading you. So
Dame did it in Portland, for example, if we stick with the NBA analogy. Jimmy Butler's value went from multiple firsts, really good players, matching up the salaries, to can anyone get him out of the building? Just match up the money and give us a conditional first-round pick and just take him. Just go. Just get him out of here. We hate his guts. He suppressed his value in a way that's almost Picasso-like. That's how beautiful it was.
Steve is in Santa Rosa, wants to join in the conversation in regards to Jimmy Butler. We got shameless shout-outs here in a couple minutes. We'll hit that. Shout-out whoever and whatever you want. 888-957-9570. Start lining them up. What's up, Steve?
Hey, I just want to say thank you to the Golden State Warriors, and especially whoever was responsible for getting this guy, Jimmy Butler. Now, I'm not a big basketball guy. I don't really understand the insides of the game. But one night we were out, and that was when he was on the other team, and we were watching the game, and I was going, damn, this guy's like running the show. This one dude, this guy Butler, this guy's really good. And then when I heard they got him, I go, wow, this is going to really change things for the Warriors. That guy's a go-getter. He's a real game changer. And now we're seeing it. So it's really cool. It's fun to watch, and I think no matter what happens to him in the playoffs, This guy, I would say, is like the Fred Dean of the Warriors. You know, the guy that got added late and just changed the whole team.
That's a good analogy. I like that one a lot. And here's who we should, be giving credit to. Because we crushed both these guys for about 4 months. I see you all online with your Joe Lacob photo, and then you Photoshopped the clown hair on it. Give Joe Lacob his flowers. Give Mike Dunleavy his flowers. Mike Dunleavy had to basically talk Steph into this deal. Mike Dunleavy had to talk Steve into this deal.
Mike Dunleavy inherited, after Bob Meyer stepped down, an absolute mess of egos and toxicity within the building.
And money.
And money.
Money, anger over money all over the place.
He got rid of Jordan Poole and brought in Chris Paul, an all-time, a fan favorite you got rid of, essentially. Now, there's a lot baked into that. Draymond Green and him at beef, and clearly you're going to pick Draymond over Jordan Poole at that point, although we had a lot of conversations about whether they should have actually done that. But you move on from the fan favorite, a champion, and bring in one of the all-time hated oppositions and enemies of the Golden State Warriors, Chris Paul. That is what his first order of business was, Joe Shasky, and it did not ingratiate himself very well to the fan base. Then you had last year, you had the Klay Thompson stuff going on. Didn't know what you're going to go do there. You were linked to Lowry Markkanen all last offseason. You maybe Jimmy Butler, who obviously was a teammate with Mike over in Chicago, maybe then, but we're not trading for Jimmy. So you don't get Lowry Markkanen. You don't get Paul George. You end up with D'Anthony Melton, Kyle Anderson, and Buddy Hield. Okay, solid additions, but I wasn't wowed. The expectations were made in the offseason and into the regular season from Steve Kerr, from all the players. Yeah, our goal right now is not a championship. It's to, you know, just get into the playoffs and play meaningful basketball. That's what we kept saying. Play meaningful basketball. And then you were playing meaningful basketball, and then you were hovering around 500. You had to do something. You had to make a bold trade, a bold acquisition, and you did it. And no one thought it was going to look like this. I don't think Mike Dunleavy, I don't think Steve Kerr, I don't think Steph Curry or Draymond thought it was going to look this good this quickly. They may have had an inkling in the first couple of games that they may have something special here, but no one thought we would be talking about a deep run into the playoffs just a month ago. We are now. It's crazy.
He was tasked with trying to salvage the final couple of years of Steph Curry's career. And he was going to be basically one or the other. Either he was going to be the conquering hero that did all he could to surround him with the appropriate cast of players to be able to try to get the job done, or he was going to be a bumbling fool who ruined the final couple years of Steph Curry's career.
You know, we're going to punt something here. We're going to call an audible here. We're going Omaha, Peyton Manning, all right? No shameless shout-outs open. I want to hear from the callers, though, these next 10 minutes or so. 888-957-9570. Shout out the Golden State Warrior that has got you believing in this team again. It could be a coach. It could be Mike Dunleavy. You can shout out Joe Lacob. Shout out Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry. The Golden State Warrior that has got you believing in this team again. It could be a Quentin Post, for Christ's sake. I don't know. Gary Payton. Buddy Hield didn't have his greatest game yesterday, but he's been playing better. I'm gonna get off Buddy's back a little bit here, because when you get a good Buddy Hield game, it feels like gravy. Shout out Thanksgiving. I can go for some right now, Joe Shasky. So we're shouting out Golden State Warriors. We're going to Oreo Cookie right now. Who's he going to shout out? What's up, Oreo? You're on with Spadoni and Shasky.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Man, I'm smiling this morning. Dude, we're talking about a game against the Brooklyn Nets. And you guys remember, we didn't need this game. We did not need this game. We had a good road trip.
I disagree, Oreo. I disagree. If had they lost this game, it would have felt like two losses. The Brooklyn Nets are 20 games under 500. They stink. I do think they needed this game. And I think they got the wake-up call in the second quarter.
It would have negated the Nick win, I thought.
Okay. I respect that. I get what you're saying, but what I'm also trying to say is that they started off slowly, and then I would like to also do an audible and shout out the Brooklyn Nets, because they tried to test our marbles yesterday.
It's true.
They, at the end of the quarter, that putback slam, it was like 35-15 or something like that. Oh, they were talking, man. They were laughing. They were jumping up and down. But let me tell you what else happened. Jimmy, you rang. Butler is coming here with an attitude to match the gameplay. We had toughness, but nobody believed it. Now we have toughness with and able to play through it and execute.
That's Oreo Cookie in Oakland. He's going to shout out the Brooklyn Nets for, you know, getting under the skin a little bit of the Warriors.
Zaire Williams
going at Gary Payton. I don't know. Again, Gary Payton wearing the all-black mask. I thought the all-black one was banned for a little bit. Remember when LeBron tried to do
it? The Phantom of the Opera mask.
The Phantom of the Opera was white. But
no,
thank
I know,
you.
But it was the reverse when he was at the Heatles because he was a villain, remember?
My favorite was Rip Hamilton just wearing the mask all the time, even when after his injury healed. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to wear it.
Well, there was a point in time where Troy Murphy got his beak broken like three times in a row.
When
he was the Warriors. It does happen when you got a big beak.
It does. I can attest to that. You know, sometimes you turn into Owen Wilson with that thing. It just gets broken left, right, and the other. We're going to keep talking about this call and these collection of calls, because if you're just joining us and you're just waking up, like, if you missed it, if we're under a rock, Stephen Curry just doing Stephen Curry things.
8 seconds left, so the Warriors will go into the break down just single digits after being down 22. But can it be a two-possession game? A heave from 35. Oh, my, from Stephen Curry. Oh, he's going to run to the locker room. There's still 3/10 of a second, step. It won't matter. 60-55. I thought he could have gotten about 5 feet closer to the basket. That was the goal when you were down 22. Steph from midcourt. Oh! Did he ghost him on that too? Oh my goodness, Curry!
Thunder bounces Curry. Oh!
Ridiculous! A cheat code! Steph Curry is not human.
Iron Eagle for a second forgot he was calling a Brooklyn Nets game and turned into TNT Iron Eagle right there. And he was in awe. But I appreciate broadcasters like that. That are, even when the opposition is going off, they understand the moment. Like, if the opposition is throwing a perfect game or a no-hitter, like, they understand. This is also a part of my career, too. Like, I get to be a part of this guy. Even though he's not playing for the team I'm covering, I get to watch this guy and be in awe. And only a few players can you really appreciate them doing that. Like, I remember Fitz having a hell of a call when LeBron had that game winner for Miami years ago, and JB throughout, he's like, make someone else beat you, you gotta put it in someone else's hands, and LeBron has that, the three, he does his, you know, LeBron dance. But that's the mark of a great caller right there and a great commentator. Iron Eagle, Bob Fitzgerald, Kevin Danner, respectively, all those guys doing a hell of a job. Let's burn through some of these calls before we hit the injury report, because I asked the callers, shout out to Golden State Warrior. In lieu of regular shameless shouts, we're doing a Golden State Warrior edition.
I do have some regular
edition.
Shameless shout outs.
That's fine. We can get one.
Shout out the Becker twins for actually getting ready marginally on time. And all the dads out there that are driving their kids to school.
There you go. Israel in Walnut Creek. What's up, Israel? You're on with Spadoni and Shasky.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, Spadoni. Disregard the Warriors for a quick second, but I want to give a shout out to Rob Pelinka, man, for fleecing Nico Harrison.
Okay, shut this guy up. Get out of here.
Okay. Well, it said Mike Dunleavy, so maybe he was going to go to there.
Rob Pelinka? No.
Well,
screw the Lakers.
Well, hold on. Maybe that move forced Mike Dunleavy and co. to make the Jimmy Butler acquisition, and it put them...
Lakers any love today.
Okay, I'm just saying, they're on a collision course together. Those are the two hottest teams in the NBA.
When the movies were like there...
I wanted to see where he was going. I feel like Bonte right now. I don't need to see
where he's going.
That was a premature
cutoff. Any Laker love is going to get nixed out today.
But maybe it ended with Warriors love. Love conquers all.
We weren't going to get that far.
Stop it.
This is the Warrior Station, baby.
It is, but we accept all colors and all shapes and sizes. Uncle Gene in Oakland, what you got? Who you shouting out?
Morning, guys. Got to shout out Jimmy. I mean, listen, what he's done is nothing short of incredible. And I was about as wrong as anybody could possibly be about him. I didn't get the intangibles. And I think you're right, Joe. I think he played his way out of Miami. And I don't mean playing on the court. I think he played the whole organization. So, and he gave me a little dose of humility, which is a good thing every once in a while. So, I'm not ready to get on the championship train yet, but let's see what happens March 17th when they play Denver.
Ooh, okay.
If they take that game, I might jump on with you.
That's Uncle Gene
in
Oakland.
There's plenty of room in this bandwagon, all right? There's plenty of room. How can you not? This is the best ball they've played since the 18-2 start. To me, it's totally different. They just look unbelievably connected. It's not a divide of like, hey, the old guys are winning and the young guys are kind of holding us back.
We kind of knew that, I'm not going to say Fugazi because it kind of, you know, it discredits what they did. And they were a good team in the first month of the season, but Buddy Hield was like a god from beyond the arc. Like, him and Steph were just unstoppable. And Buddy, you know, you reduced back to, I was like, why is Buddy Hield on the market?
Pods wasn't playing well.
No.
And, you know, Moses Moody wasn't playing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying they were winning because Buddy Hield and Steph were just ridiculous from beyond the arc.
These wins right now is, it's not just the old guys and Steph and Jimmy Butler. To me, these wins, that's why it's so different. It's Quentin Post is playing well. It's Guy Santos is playing well. GP2's playing well. Moody's playing well. I know Potts is hurt, but Pryor, he'd been playing well. Pat Spencer steps in. Wow, he's making plays.
Pat Spencer.
Like, to me, it's roster top to bottom, outside of a couple guys, are all playing optimal.
Let's squeeze one more in before we get to the injury report. Carlos is in San Mateo, wants to join the conversation. What's up, Carlos? You're on Spadoni and Chasky.
What's up, Los?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Happy Friday.
What's up?
So okay. I love the fact that we won yesterday, but I just hated that it was by one basket. I mean, that first quarter was just not nice to watch.
Did you bet on that game?
Did you have the Warriors minus three, Carlos?
Did you bet on that game?
No, I didn't.
But
what do you guys think we need to work on in the first quarter to kind of get a little more focus from the start?
For sure. And there's a lot baked into that, and I appreciate it, Carlos, because
turnovers?
They had a day off in New York City, man. Like,
here we go.
You're going to be doing something. I'm sorry.
It was Draymond's birthday.
And it was Draymond's birthday, and there was no coaches allowed.
You know what birthdays did to this team over, I don't know, 15 years ago? Baron Davis had a birthday party that sabotaged the end of the season the year after, we believe, when they won like 48 games and didn't make the playoffs. Most ever wins for any team in NBA history without making the playoffs.
Yeah, but they had like high 40s, right? What was it?
48?
48.
And Baron Davis threw a big party. Kate Hudson was there, and Nelly was pissed because guys were either hungover or they didn't go to shoot around. I forget the particulars. Get Steiny on the phone. He'll remember it out.
As long as P. Diddy wasn't there. Injury report. Oh, you got to be ready for that. Come on. That was
it's
a walk-off.
Time for the injury report.
Really hurt.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right. What happened to Brandon Pajemski last night? Pods left early in the first quarter of the Warriors' win over the Nets due to lower back tightness. He lasted only a minute before having to come out. The good news is the back tightness does not appear to be serious. Head coach Steve Kerr said after the game that Pods is day two. Day. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Wait till you hear what Charles Barkley had to say about the Golden State Warriors and Los Angeles Lakers being bad for the game? Huh? What's going up next? The Spadoni and Chasky, the Morning Roast.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.